The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Moshe Hillel Kaufman.
Baruch haba, we're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kuf Lamed Gimel, Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, Sif Aleph, Usif Yud Gimel. Sif Aleph. Yom HaKippurim also b'achilo, v'shtia. Person, Yom Kippur is also to eat, it's also to drink, b'chitza, to wash, b'sicha, to shmir on yourself, b'in ilus ha-sandal, also to wear shoes, u'tashmi shamita. We also b'chol malacha, b'tiltul k'may b'shabbos as well. All the malachas that are also to do on Shabbos are also to do on Yom Kippur. And as well, muktzahs, also anything that's muktzah, just like on Shabbos, the same halacha would be by Yom Kippur. V'kivin shetzrichim mahoysif michol ala kodesh, and since we have a chiv on Yom Kippur to add part of chol to make it kodesh part of Yom Kippur, v'chein asurim b'chol ha'elu mibari joim. So all of these things are also, even while it's still the Erev Yom Kippur, Aizes man koyde ben hashmashes, for a period of time before ben hashmashes. Nachayim b'maitzi yom kippurim, as well on maitzi yom kippur as well, zman muad lachat seis ha-koychavim. All these things are also not just till the second that seis ha-koychavim, it has to be a little bit after seis ha-koychavim. We add on from chol to kodesh. Sif beis. Liga ba'eichlin u'mashkin, kishetzichim moseis lektanim, to touch food or drink, because you need to give it to a child. Yesh matirin, there are those that allow it. Yesh machmirin, and there are those that say it's aser. Vim evsha yesh li zoya. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch shita is that if possible, one should be careful and not touch food on Yom Kippur. However, the Ramah says that one could be mekel, and the Mishnah Berurah and the Minig is like the Ramah. And Mishnah Berurah explains that it's only on Pesach that we're aser to touch chametz. Because since we're eating other things, so if we touch chametz, we might come to eat chametz inadvertently. However, on Yom Kippur, we don't eat anything at all. So if you're gonna, and we don't drink anything. So if you're gonna touch something, we're not worried that you're gonna forget and you're gonna eat it. And certainly more so because it's Yom Adin, and the fear of Yom Adin is also a little more prevalent on one's actions. And Mishnah Berurah adds that even if the child is able to take the food himself, that there's no reason to be machmir, and you can touch the food even if it's to assist the child who doesn't really need your assistance. Sif Gimel. Isser Rechitza Ayin Sim Kuf Chav Dalet Sif Zayin Ches and Tes, to learn more about the Isser of washing on Yom Kippur. V'gam B'yom HaKippurim Eino Asser Rak Rechitza Shol Tanig. On Yom Kippur as well, as we'll explain in the halachas over there, the Isser Rechitza is a Rechitza that is more pleasure, that is for pleasure. Ayin oid sim kufnun tes. V'tzach li zoy ma'oid shelo yichetz yoyis mimash mochach loy. So a person has to be very careful not to wash more than the bare minimum. Over there, the halachas are brought that if a person gets some dirt on their body, on their hand, so they're allowed to wash it off with water if need be, but they should only, what he's saying here is they should only wash off just that immediate spot that's dirty, not more than is necessary. U'tfilas ne'ilah, and when it comes to the davening for Ne'ilah, Mincha, and Maariv, kiven sh'omed kol yom bebeis haknesses, since you're in shul the entire day, v'oisek b'tfilas u'piyutim, and you're davening the whole day, harei u'misham yodav. So your hands are going to be washed, meaning you're going to be careful that you're not to touch places that would require them to be washed. And so therefore, v'lo yichetzen, you don't wash your hands when you get up to Mincha, when you get up to Maariv. Normally before you daven a tefillah, you wash your hands. But over here, he says, since you're the whole day in shul anyway, and you're being careful with your hands, there's no need to wash. And the Mishnah Berurah's opinion is, even if there's a break in shul, you still would not wash your hands if it's just for davening, unless, of course, you went to the bathroom or you touched certain things that require certain covered parts of your body that therefore would require you to wash again. So then you would wash for davening, but only up to your knuckles. But otherwise, if you didn't touch anything, even according to Mishnah Berurah, you shouldn't wash your hands again, even if there was a break and you weren't in shul the entire day. Sif Dalid. Ha-Kehanim Sha'ilin L'Duchen, the Kehanim who are going up to do duchening. Kivan shelo duchen sichen etil sidaim ad azoya. Since for duchening the halacha is you must wash your hands till the wrist, as opposed to by Yom Kippur, where when we have to wash our hands, we only do it until the knuckles. But duchening is different. So v'im loy not li yedayim b'shachar es raka etzbayis. So if you only washed your hands like you should have in the morning, only up to your knuckles, and you were kain. So av shebichu al matil sidayim, even though you made a bracha al matil sidayim in the morning when you washed your hands until the knuckles, mikol malkum, nevertheless, kiman shanatila hi loy ha'ilu lehem l'duchen. Since that washing didn't help you for duchening, because for duchening you need to go to the wrist. Im kain, if so, kishenayt l'nata ad azoya, now, but when it comes before duchening and you're going to wash your hands until the wrist, tzrichin levarach shenis al tiyas yidoyim. You have to say a bracha again al tiyas yidoyim. However, the minig is not to make a bracha al tiyas yidoyim when the kohanim do that, and Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention anything like that either. V'toyv yoyiser, but according to the Kitzur Shanoch Arach Shita, he's saying it's better shiitlu yideim gam b'shachis ad azoya. According to the opinion that you would have to make an anatil sidayim again, it's better that you should wash your hands, the kohen should wash his hands until the wrist in the morning when he washes his hands. So you won't have to make an anatil sidayim a second time, but again, lemaisa, that's not nageya for us, because we don't make an anatil sidayim for the bracha when we're washing the hands for duchening until the wrist. Sifhei. Hachayla, afilo ein boi sakana. Someone who's sick, even though it's not a sakonis nefashis, but rechetz kedarka, if his wound needs to be washed, it could be washed in its regular fashion. Kala b'sarech shleishim yoyim mishinisseis, a kala within the first 30 days of being married, rechetz is paner kadei shleit tisgan al bala. She can wash her face so that she should not be look bad for her husband. Her husband might feel that she's ugly. Lamaisa in our days, where if the husband's the whole day in shul, doesn't really see the kala, certainly a kala shouldn't wash her face. It's not so simple if in our days a kala is make on that anyway, because usually without washing or washing, there's not really going to be much of a nafkamina, which is how she looks in our days. Sivav. Haraya chas v'shalom keri b'yom ha-kippurim. If someone chas v'shalom saw a keri on Yom Kippurim, imlahu, if it's still wet, mekancheu b'mapo, he should wash it off, wipe it off with a cloth. Rim kfar nisyabish, however, if it already dried up, reichetz mekaymes hamluchlochim levad, you let it wash the places that got dirty from the keri, but only those places. The dino kitzaya, because it's the same din like tzoya, just like if there's any other dirt on a person, we said before that you're allowed to wash it off with water just on the spot that has the dirt. So someone saw tumas keri and dried up, so you can wash that off too. It's the same thing, wouldn't be any different than any other dirt. V'lo yechatz bebeged, but you shouldn't wash with the water using a cloth. Sh'lo yavel de schita, you shouldn't come to schita, do schita. V'yasa litvol, afa pishuhu ragu litvol b'shayim o'yseshana. And the person should not go to the mikveh, even though normally if he sees tumas keri, he's the person, he would normally go to the mikveh. But for Yom Kippur, because it's a v'chitza, he shouldn't go to the mikveh. V'yigalet sarah l'tamid chacham, he should tell over his pain about what happened to Talmud Chacham, ma she'ira lo b'yom ha'kodesh v'anayra, what happened to him on this holy day, v'hu yoreu ma lasais, and he will tell him what to do. The Talmud Chacham will tell this person what to do. Should tiskapiloi that he should have a kapara v'yarech yomim, and he should live a long life. The Gemara in Shulchan Aruch bring down that if someone saw keri Yom Kippur, so he should worry about the whole year, because it's a simon. Maybe he's not going to make it through the year. If he does make it through the year, so then he's mufnich loisha ben olam haba. So Mishnah Berurah brings down that if someone saw tumas keri because he overate, or he had to hear her, or so then that certainly doesn't fall into this category that he should worry for the whole year, that he might not make it through the year, and if he does make it through the year, that he's a ben olam haba. That wouldn't apply to someone who's the tumas keri is somewhat induced, self-induced. The Stipler writes that this thing of worrying the whole year and making it through the year, and if you did, then you're Ben Aron Haba. That's only talking about somebody who's married and over 40 years old, who's spending his day, his full day in Torah and Yir Shemayim. So that if he saw Tumas Keri, so then it's a Simen Min HaShemayim that he was, that the Kadosh Baruch is not happy with him, and therefore you should be very worried about being able to make it through the year. And if he does make it through the year, that means Hashem was makabel his tshuva, and he's a ben olam haba. However, in our days, people younger than that, and certainly people who aren't married, they don't fall into this category. And of course, they should always do some tshuva that they saw Tumas Keri, but they're not together this havtacha that they should have to worry that they should make it through the year, and if they do make it through the year, that they're ben olam haba. Sif Zion. Sicha Asura Afilu Bishvil Lahavi Azuma. Smearing or anointing on yourself, that's asur, even if it's just to get rid of a smell like deodorant. Vafil al Mixis Kufa, even if it's only on a part of your body. Achoila, but someone who's sick. Afilu Ein Bay Sakana, even if he is not a chayla that has sakana. He could smear the normal way because it's for refuah for him. However, someone who has a skin condition on his head, that in our days where the minig is that we don't smear with oil and smear it into our skin, it's also for him to do the smearing, because then it shows that it's for refuah, and refuah is also on Shabbos, unless of course the person has a din of a chayla that's mushkav lamita. Sif Ches. Ne'ilas hasandol yesh oisrin afilu besandol shel eitz. When it comes to wearing shoes, we're not allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippur, like we said. So even if it's a wooden shoe, there are people that aser it. She'enan chafui b'or, even if it's not covered with leather over the wood, just wearing the wood alone, there are those that aser it. Aval shel gemi oy kash oy beged, but a shoe that's made out of a reed or straw or out of cloth, mutter, that's allowed. V'yesh lahachmi ben ilus hasandol, and one should be machmir not to wear leather shoes. Afil b'mokon lepesh v'teduk shomim, even when there's clay or mud or rain, and you have to walk. So if you don't have a good shoe, you're going to be very uncomfortable, and it's going to cause you a lot of discomfort. Still, you should be machmir and not wear the leather shoe. Now, the Mishnah Berurah, if he's matir that if there's a lot of mud or clay, he says most people can't really handle that. They're an istinus. They're too finicky to walk in the clay or mud. So he says, so therefore they can wear a leather shoe if there's no other option. However, when it comes to the rain, he says that only someone who can get sick or from it or that's an istinus from the rain alone, only they could be mako, but regular people should not wear leather shoes even for the rain. Now in our days, even people who need to walk in clay and mud, we have plenty of other alternatives. We don't need to have leather shoes. There are plenty man-made shoes that do the trick. But in general, we don't wear a man-made shoe on Yom Kippur, the one that looks like leather. That's something that we don't do, even though it's man-made. It still looks like you're wearing something that's made out of leather. V'afilu ha'ilech ben ha'akum, continues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Even if you're going to walk amongst the Goyim, Usa, it's still Usa to wear a leather shoe. Don't worry that they're going to make fun of you. It doesn't make a difference. We do Hashem's mitzvahs, that's all that we care about, even if they might ridicule you for wearing slippers rather than a regular shoe. Because the Shachar says, however, if it's very difficult for you to walk where the clay or mud is, or where the rain is, Yinol Sandol and Shein Bali Akev. So you should wear a shoe that doesn't have a heel. Now again, just remember we said that the Mishnah Berurah says for Gshamim, he's not Mako. Mishnah Berurah is not Mako for regular rain, for regular person, only if they're very istinus on it or if they're chayla, they could harm them. I'm an alam shem im akiv, or says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you can wear shoes that have a heel, ala yachlifim shal smol yamin, shal min yismail. You should switch the shoes, put your small left shoe on your right foot, and your right shoe on your left foot, im yesh chilek b'nehem, if the shoes are different, and they're not, you know, the same type, same size, same exact fit for left or right, but there's a difference like most of our shoes. Lefnei Pesach Beis HaKnesses, and before, you, right by the opening of the entrance of the Beis HaKnesses, Yachle, so you should take them off, Yatsnim, and you should put those leather shoes, hide them on the side somewhere. Mishmur doesn't bring down to wear without a shoe, without a heel, or to switch them around, even if you do it for the clay in the mud that you don't want to walk through, but because Shnachar says that one should do that. You should be careful when you are wearing those leather shoes. You shouldn't touch them when you're putting them on or when you're removing them. You shouldn't have to wash your hands. Siftes. Person's allowed to stand on pillows and cushions. Even if those pillows or cushions are made out of leather, that's okay. It's only a leather shoe that's a problem. But standing on a leather carpet or a leather a cushion, that's okay. Avol betfilah shmina esrei, however, when one is davening shmina esrei, asalam moed al shum davar, the halacha is not to stand on anything that makes you higher. So whether leather or not. So of course one wouldn't stand on those cushions when he's davening shmina esrei, even if they weren't made out of leather. Achmishu ish mitzunan. However, if somebody he gets very cold, mutaloy lamar al ksasa sabim. He's allowed a davening shmina esrei with a little cushion of grass underneath him, so that he won't suffer and get sick from the coldness of the floor. Sif yud. Kol chayla, every sick person, af al pi she'ein bo sakana, even though he's not a chayla she'esh bo sakana, or mishu yesh lo makab ragla, someone who has a wound on his foot, l'chein ha'yoledes is kol lamed, as well as a lady that gave birth to a child the first 30 days since she gave birth, these people are all she's considered a sick person. Mutarin ben ilas asana, they're allowed to wear leather shoes so they shouldn't get sick or from not wearing a leather shoe. However, in our days, like we said, there are many man-made material shoes that will do just fine, and so therefore there's no need in most cases for someone to wear an actual leather shoe, even if they are a chayla or a yoledes. Sif yod aleph. Asa liga beishtoy afil b'yom. A person's not allowed to touch his wife even during the day. Yachzikena kol yom kippurim k'may nida. And you should act the whole day as if she's a nida in terms of touching her. Sif yod beis. Mu'ubarais u'meinikais. Pregnant women and nursing women. Mis'anais u'mashlimas k'chol adam. They have to fast the full fast and complete the fast, just like any other person is chayav to fast on Yom Kippur. Uminika shavalda chayla. However, a nursing mother whose child is sick, umasukan, and there's a sakana involved, ve'eno reitzelino ikiyem imena, and he only wants to nurse from her alone. Vim tisana, and if the mother is going to fast, tehei sakana levlad, it will be a sakana for the child, because then she's not going to have milk to give to the child. Laisisana, so the Shulchan Aruch says she shouldn't fast. Lamaisa, in our days, the Eitzah is if a woman will have a problem nursing on Yom Kippur, so she should express milk in advance before Yom Kippur, and she should freeze it or refrigerate it. So this way, on Yom Kippur, she can feed that to the child. Same thing as well. Sometimes many children, they're used to getting formula, even if they don't get it all day. If they just get a bottle a day of formula and the rest is being nursed, is nursed milk, there's no heter for the wife to eat, so she can nurse the whole day. If he's used to already getting some formula, you should give him more formula on Yom Kippur if the wife is not going to have enough milk to nurse him. Even in the situation where milk, for some reason, couldn't be expressed in advance, and the child can't take any, you know, formula or supplements, and the child must eat, and the mother's not going to have the milk necessary for the child. So in such a situation, of course, a person should always check with their paisik. But in such a situation, normally drinking alone is sufficient to make enough milk. And so in those situations, many times the paisik will say to drink less than the shear during the, and spread out that, you know, over an amount of time, so that you're not going to be drinking a shear in an amount of time, and that way there'll be sufficient liquid in the mother. She'll have enough fluids that she'll be able to nurse. Sif Yud Gimel. Mu'beres she'richa eza meichel. If a pregnant woman smelled some food umisavalei and she has a desire to have it, and it's known that if you don't give something which she has a craving for, it's a sakana for herself and the unborn child. Therefore, if she says, I must eat this, even if we don't see a change in her face that, you know, would show that she's, you know, something's wrong with her, most certainly, if we see that her face is changed, that there's something wrong with her, that she must have this craved item, even if she doesn't tell us verbally that she must have it, we whisper in her ear, that today is Yom Kippur. Because sometimes, that'll be enough, just telling her that it's Yom Kippur today, that'll be enough to settle her down and not have this craving anymore. However, if she hasn't been able to overcome the craving, she still has that craving, and she must have that food, we feed her as follows. At first, we only give her a little bit, like we stick our finger in the sauce, and similar, and we put it in her mouth, and she tastes that tiny drop. Because sometimes b'tipa achas, with one drop, she'll be back to normal and she'll be okay. V'im lav, however, if that wasn't sufficient and she still has that craving, but she must have it, nice in la pachis mikashir, then we give her less than a shear. I only come to tesvav, we'll talk later about what the shear is, but you give her less than a shear. And if that wasn't sufficient, nice then la dait socha. We give her whatever she needs, even if that amount is more than a shear and is within the time of the shear. The chain kol adam, as well, every man, sheriach machol, that he smelled some food, nishtanu panav, and now we see on his face that something is wrong, that he must have that food. Masukanhu, that this is a sakona, v'naigin by k'moshe kasamnu, and we do the same procedure as we just said for the pregnant person. Aval calls man shlo nishtanu panav, but if his face hasn't changed, we don't see on his face that something's terribly wrong. Ein ma'achilin oisai, we don't give him the food, af b'sha'im et tzarchani, even though he says that I must have it. And even when we give food, that's only until they have their back to normal, and they're misyashiv daitan. But more than that, of course, is something that's also to do. Kol tov.